This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. Listen to us on KPFK, KPFA, and other Pacifica stations, and watch us on Free Speech TV Monday through Friday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. The Washington Post on November 24th published an article with a sensationalist headline, "Russian Propaganda Effort Helped Spread Fake News During Election, Experts Say." Technology writer Craig Timberg cited two teams of what he called independent researchers, one of which is a group called Prop or Not. According to Timberg, Prop or Not is, quote, a nonpartisan collection of researchers with foreign policy, military, and technology backgrounds. Except that the group keeps its identity secret and on its website promotes a list that includes hundreds of news websites, some of which might in fact be funded by the Russian government, but many others of which are simply independent news websites or blogs. Among the websites that, according to Prop or Not, quote, reliably echo Russian propaganda is an outlet that I write for, truthdig.com, and other popular left-of-center websites such as truthout.org and counterpunch.org. Is this a revival of red-baiting tactics of the past? Joining me is Joshua Frank. He is the managing editor of Counterpunch, author of a number of books, including Left Out, How Liberals Helped Re-elect George W. Bush. He's also the author of a forthcoming book with Jeffrey Sinclair called Heatstroke, Earth on the Brink. Welcome to the program, Joshua.
Thanks for having me.
So first, how unusual is it for the Washington Post to publish such a news article when one of its two main sources is a group that has such a shadowy background? It just doesn't seem to meet the kind of editorial test that you would expect an outlet like the Washington Post to vet or to publish.
Well, maybe not recently, but certainly during the Cold War era, as we published a piece today on Counterpunch, kind of charting the history of how the CIA has utilized journalists, in particular the Washington Post, to put forth Cold War propaganda. So if anything, it's sort of echoing back to this era, and hopefully this isn't a new trend that we're going to see, but giving credit to this Proper Not site in this way has elevated it to a status that it's not worthy of, for sure.
So you're saying that the Washington Post in the past has been documented to be a part of a network that our intelligence services, the CIA, has kind of used as an outlet or a mouthpiece for U.S. propaganda?
Certainly. And I think it raises the question with this new allegations of Prop or Not, who is behind it? We have no idea, and therefore we can only assume that they have ulterior motives, right? And it's pretty clear by looking at the list that one thing is in common with all of the publications and websites that are listed there, that they were critical of the Hillary Clinton campaign in one way or another. Some, like our own and Truth Dig, which you write for, were also critical of Trump, of course. But the theme through all of the sites, especially on the independent left and the right as well, was that they were critical of Hillary Clinton. And if you go to Prop or Not's webpage on Facebook, their little fan page there, you'll see that they're only critical of Trump and Jill Stein, nothing about Hillary Clinton. So it lends, at least to me, the scene that this could be some kind of Democratic operation that's picking up on this theme of fake news, which has been popular since the election.
Right. In fact, so the fake news stories and the idea that fake news influenced the election really came about after the election results, after Trump won the Electoral College. However, throughout the election, over the summer, we heard so much about Russian influence of the election. Of course, that was directly in reference to WikiLeaks publishing revelations of an email correspondence from within the campaign. It's certainly possible that Russian hackers gave WikiLeaks that information, because WikiLeaks has a certain method that basically allows anonymous people to give it information. So it's not surprising that WikiLeaks made this list, but it seems as though we've gone from that summertime idea that the Russians have tried to influence this election to now taking the legitimate idea of this of fake news muddling the waters and conflating it with the idea of Russian propaganda, right? I mean, plenty of fake news originates from inside the US.
That's right. And, you know, and it's easy perhaps to throw WikiLeaks under the bus if you're like prop or not. But clearly the WikiLeaks would have published insider emails from the Trump campaign, right? So it's not that they're biased or this or that. It's just that the prop or not didn't like the angle that they were going at, and which was critical of the Hillary campaign or exposing the inner workings of the DNC in this case. So it's very interesting that now others are being targeted. I mean, I can speak for Counterpunch a little bit in that regard. We've published a range of issues over the years critical of Russia. And now that we're somehow a mouthpiece of Russian propaganda and perhaps the Kremlin and Putin himself is pretty ridiculous. We don't receive any funding from any oligarchs or the Russian government in particular.
I mean, it seems like this is the liberal version of right-wing accusations against Soros, right? According to the right, George Soros is out there pushing his agenda and paying people to protest. And now, according to this Prop or Not website, the Russian government is out there funding sites like yours, or at least, I mean, they don't actually come out and say that the Russian government controls Counterpunch. What they say, and let's dig into this, what they cast Truth Dig, which I write for, Counterpunch, your website, is through this old term of useful idiots. Can you explain what useful idiots, what this term is, where it comes from?
Well, sure, that we don't know exactly that we are promoting Russian propaganda, right? I mean, that's the accusation, that we are just dupes of the, of in this case, of Russia. But one thing that you mentioned, you know, on this list that they have, it's interesting because they don't differentiate between sites. So a site like Sputnik News or RT, which are directly funded by the Russian government. And
there's no secret about that, right? That's very open.
Right, and it's very open and everybody knows that. And I think people that go to RT for news, they look for an alternative space. It doesn't mean RT is fake news, but it does mean that RT definitely is coming from a certain perspective, similar to the way CNN or MSNBC or Fox News are coming from a certain perspective. But that doesn't mean that somehow, since RT is on this list, that others there are equally to blame and are funded by the Russians or whatever their accusations may be. But it's sort of like smearing by association in this sense. So while we might be these useful dupes or useful idiots, right, we don't know what we're actually promoting because we're kind of in the dark, which is what their allegation is.
So to quote from this website, this is the group Prop or Not, whose report the Washington Post cited as something serious. This list that they've put together, the preamble says, for purposes of this definition, of sites that reliably echo Russian propaganda, does not matter whether the sites listed here are being knowingly directed and paid by Russian intelligence officers or whether they even knew they were echoing Russian propaganda at any particular point. If they meet these criteria, they are at the very least acting as bona fide, quote, useful idiots of the Russian intelligence services and are worthy of further scrutiny. And then they go on to add, we assess that this overall Russian effort is at least semi-centralized. I mean, it's either one or the other, but according to them. So let's talk about the chilling effect of this, because essentially what they're saying is, if you sound like you might agree with something the Russian government has said, you are in with this group. Therefore, if you want to not be part of this group, change your politics?
Perhaps. I mean, and something that's even, I think, more dangerous that they're promoting is they have this little extension that you can add to your web browser that will flag sites if they are promoting, in their case, in their accusations, Russian propaganda. So in a way, it's a self-censoring tool that people can put onto their their web browser to flag them if they come across something that this site deems as propaganda. So it's a pretty dangerous precedent to be setting that somehow they are the truth seekers here, right? And one thing that they don't list is what's their criteria? I mean, Counterpunch, for instance, we have published a range of issues on Russia and Syria, a range of perspectives. Myself, I've been very critical of Russians' actions in Syria, and I'm the managing editor of Counterpunch, but I guess that doesn't hold any water because we've also ran pieces on the other side of it. You know, Counterpunch is a place where the left can come and kind of hash some of these things out. And apparently that doesn't matter to Prop or Not. We're just pure propagandists, you know. So it's really, really interesting. We get emails all the time from folks that think we are anti-Russia. So it's sometimes, and now we're on the other side of the fence.
So clearly you're doing something right.
you know, can't please everybody.
It seems as though this particular group is trying to create a guideline for acceptable news. Not in terms of the vetting that news gets, but in terms of the slant that it receives, the political slant that it receives. What's really interesting, Joshua, is that one of the things that they point out that Russian propaganda sites pushed during the election campaign was this story of Hillary Clinton when she had, you know, a health problem during one of her events and had to be sort of scooted out in a van. That there was a big story made of it that was then echoed by a number of Russian propaganda websites. Well, interestingly enough, the Washington Post itself in September ran an article saying, citing somebody who said Hillary Clinton may have been poisoned in its headline. I mean, right. You know, I feel like the Washington Post is more responsible here because, you know, groups can do what they want to do. They can create whatever list they want to do, but the Post used its influence to give this site some serious credentials.
Yeah, I mean, otherwise, I think none of us would be talking about this site today. It wouldn't mean anything. It would just be some silly blog that we would assume some teenager put together or something. But it does have the makings of something a bit more serious than that. Just by looking into trying to figure out who's behind this site, we've kind of uncovered that whoever it is knows how to cover their tracks pretty well. And you can tell that it's at least, from a technological standpoint, a pretty professional operation. That doesn't mean we know who's doing it, but we know that whoever's doing it knows what they're doing as far as putting to this kind of thing together. So, I think the only way to really uncover who is behind it eventually will be to have a lawsuit filed. And I don't know who will spearhead that or if we'll be a part of that, but I think that's the only real way to get behind who's behind this.
So they may be technologically professional, but they don't seem to be very professional in the way they express themselves, particularly on their Twitter account. Matt Taibbi in his Rolling Stone article cited very, I think, importantly, that their tweets alone should have warned the Washington Post away from this organization. We have some of them up on our screen for our TV audience. One of them says, "We'll consider revealing our names when Russia reveals the names of those running its propaganda operations in the West." And then it's got like this emoticon. Another tweet talks about its updated report. "Russian imperialists and bots/trolls are wewy upset. We are stoked." Wewy upset. All right. It to me sounds like a couple of teenagers writing these tweets, and we're supposed to take Prop or Not seriously.
It's just ridiculous, you know. But it also, in its ridiculousness, is serious too, right? Because what they're trying to do is perpetuate this idea that stories, for instance, that run on Counterpunch are fake. And by doing so, it's supposed to tarnish our reputation and all of the other publications there as well. And what this does is it lends credence to the idea that the left, in particular in this case, is solely out, will write anything and publish anything for the sake of an argument or for their political, to get across a political point. And that's simply just not the case. And anybody that is a frequent reader of Counterpunch or Truth Dig or a lot of these other sites will know that These are the alternatives to the mainstream, where the propaganda really is in the Washington Post or the New York Times. You come to places like Counterpunch to have a fresh dose of reality, and to try to tarnish that and tarnish independent media, and to say independent media perhaps is to blame for the Hillary Clinton loss, is just ridiculous. And really, I think that's at the heart of what this is all about. This is trying to perpetuate the idea that Hillary Clinton was defeated, not on her own fruition or a horrible campaign or the fact that they underestimated Trump, but the fact that the Russians probably hacked the system and used propaganda to undermine her campaign, which there's just no evidence of that.
What can history teach us about how this plays out? Because if we look back at our past, if we look back at McCarthyism, if we look back at how left-wing activists were tarnished with this brush of communist pro-Soviet as a way to undermine their legitimate critiques of the U.S. government, a lot of people did fall for it. Sadly, you know, we can sometimes look back in hindsight and say, oh, how ridiculous it was that Americans fell for these lies back then, but we could very easily slide right back into that today.
Oh, certainly. And what's kind of interesting about all of this is, you know, under the Trump administration, or the forthcoming Trump administration, we've been a little fearful that there might be a crackdown on some of this, you know, free speech or independent websites or those sorts of things. But here it is. It seems to be coming from the liberal end of the spectrum in this case, which is, you know, I think kind of telling and where we're at. And it does kind of historically, I think, as you've mentioned, it's a dangerous precedent that this is setting, and the Washington Post is setting up for the next 4 years. Are we going to continually be under attack for the things that we publish because we're critical of the establishment in this case? And what if Russia, and we agree with Russia on certain things, does that mean that somehow we're propagandists for Russia? Absolutely not. We're independent, and we can end up agreeing or disagreeing with a number of things, right? Doesn't mean that we're promoted by them or funded by them or or towing the Kremlin line in this case.
Glenn Greenwald of The Intercept, who also critiqued The Washington Post, apparently reached out to Craig Timberg, the writer of this article, and the standard response was, "I don't comment on what I write," which is really interesting. I mean, you know, if you're going to write an article and another respected journalist reaches out to you for a comment and you say, "I don't comment on what I write," I mean, why is that a legitimate response from a journalist to refuse to comment on a story, particularly when that story has been shown to really not meet the test for what its own editorial standards you would expect?
You would expect, right. You know, the Washington Post journalist, he is in that tech world and writes about technology issues. And he's based, obviously, I believe, in Virginia. And it lends me to believe that whoever's behind this site probably is in close circles with the writer in some way. I don't see any other way how the editor at the Washington Post would even allow someone to be anonymous in this case. And to go on record anonymously without having any kind of credentials. So it seems to me that they probably were in close contact, or he knows more about this than he's leading on to, that it's more than just one person. It could be an operation. And who knows who's ultimately behind it. But it does seem, on the face of it, pretty childish.
And I don't understand their justification, prop or not, this group that Washington Post cites, what their justification is for keeping their identity secret. Who are they afraid of? I mean, if they're going to make such claims, if they're going to apply a strict standard, just come out and say who you are and say why you think these assertions make sense, these claims have value, because then we might be able to take them seriously. But again, you get this childish response on their Twitter account: "We'll reveal ourselves when Russia reveals itself." Wow.
It sounds like some people at the Pentagon having a joke, right? A little
yes.
bit. You know, and I don't want to make that accusation necessarily, but it's possible that this is a government operation, and all they have to do, as you know, they can simply tarnish someone's reputation, and that's effective enough. They don't have to prove anything, and that's, you know, there's obviously a long history of this in the U.S. of trying to tarnish individuals or publications and ruin their reputations, and simply that's enough. It doesn't actually have to be factual.
And finally, Joshua, you know, obviously fake news is a huge problem. We covered it on our program recently with Mara Einstein. To point out the fact that a lot of fake news is clickbait that is premised on the very poor model of advertising as a way to fund news. I mean, the fake news creators have taken advantage of that model. Many of them are here in the US, many of them manipulate headlines, and many of them are tilted toward right-wing fears because, it seems anecdotally at least, right-wing voters seemed to believe and spread these pieces of fake news more gullibly. Some fake news writers who have agreed to be interviewed have said they just didn't write that many headlines appealing to liberals because liberals seemed a little bit more discerning of these news headlines, just didn't fall for it as easily. That seems to me to be the more reasonable analysis of how fake news played a role in this election.
Oh, certainly. And you know, Facebook, for instance, which has come under a lot of scrutiny for allowing this sort of fake, quote unquote, fake news to be perpetuated in people's news feeds, they're actually been cracking down on it. And it is an issue, you know, and I think people need to understand, and I would hope people do see the difference between an article that appears in Counterpunch and a meme that pops up in their newsfeed and takes those with a grain of salt. Sometimes if things seem a little bit too ridiculous, we have to know that they are a little bit too ridiculous to believe. So, but it is a problem, and it's an issue with the web in general. And there are a lot of sites out there that are satire that seem to come across as, and not just The Onion, but other sites as well that play to these ideas and fake news. And I guess ultimately the most dangerous thing is to try to equate those issues and those problems with legitimate alternative viewpoints and to try to tarnish us as fake news, which of course we are not.
Well, Joshua, we will proudly link to Counterpunch from our website later today, but people can also go directly to counterpunch.org. Thank you so much for all the work you do.
Thanks so much for having me.
And thanks for joining us today. Joshua Frank is the managing editor of Counterpunch. He's the author of a number of books, including Left Out, How Liberals Helped Re-elect George W. Bush. He has a forthcoming book out with Jeffrey Sinclair called Heatstroke, Earth on the Brink. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can sign up for our newsletter at risingupwithsonali.com to get daily emails with links to all our stories.